B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Well, they, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Radio program.
We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. A big show on the way today. Big, big show. And problems with the computers. Lots of problems. I've heard all day they had problems with the computers. Want to do it, try to play something?
Sure, why not? Let's see. Yep, not playing.
Okay, but it's playing off your screen, but it's just not playing here.
Yeah, it's just not running through the... We have a new sound system here, and so I got nothing right here. Although I could play it out of this right here. This is what we usually... I think I can do this out of this. You got this? All right, so we would have started the show.
Great job. Very good.
Yeah, man.
Good job. Good win. Good job.
Let's go, boys.
Let's go.
You got to keep it now, Joe.
What's up, man?
Thanks.
Let's go, coach.
Yes, sir, baby.
Good job, man.
All right.
Man, congratulations. At the, a lot of situational football work this week got paid off. It was a great job of coming through in the fourth quarter, all the way through 60 minutes. Wasn't perfect, but it was better than what they had, and that's what really mattered. All right? You know what I think we're ready for?
Uh-oh.
I think we're ready for Victory Monday.
Yeah!
Got another big one this week now. Got another big one this week. All right, let's be ready to go on Wednesday.
One thing I saw in you guys this week that I really appreciated a ton was the purpose and the resolve that everybody had in this room. But I tell you one thing, bring it in here nice and tight. Because today's the day to celebrate. Not only are we 9-1, but we got a victory. How do we feel about our first Victory Monday?
Oh, yeah. Yep, there's that.
It's also Isaac Asimov's birthday.
By the way, this is somewhat breaking news as we all sit and wait for at 9 o'clock.
Bronx Big announcement. That will probably end up being nothing.
Well, now we know that it's more than likely not going to be anything because I think we just found out what that announcement more than likely is going to be. This is according to WCVB. They say that Rob Gronkowski will be in Miami for the Super Bowl. The former Patriots tight end won't be preparing for kickoff with Tom Brady and the rest of his New England teammates. Instead, the man who retired from the Patriots and the NFL in March will be hosting his first Super Bowl party.
Oh, wow.
And he's doing
That's
it,
neat.
And he's doing it Gronk style. The three-time Super Bowl champ is hosting the Gronk Beach Festival on Saturday, February 1st, on Miami Beach, in an event featuring Gronkowski's favorites and combining party with a music festival along with food and drinks. Quote, I may not be playing in the game this year, but I will still be going to Miami, and I'm going to be debuting my very own music festival, and it's Gronk Beach, Gronkowski said. I mean, you can't ask for any other situation that's better than that. Bring some wildness, some fun, to bring a music festival to Miami, and not just on top of Miami at the Super Bowl. It's really never done like that before.
That's right. There's never been a music festival in Miami before.
He said Gronkowski is teaming up with performers including Rick Ross, Flo Rida, DJ Carnage, Cascade, Diplo, and Blau, I think is pronounced, but it looks like it's written three Lau. Whoever is going to be playing at that game, who isn't going to want to be at the party, Gronkowski said. So that might be the game. The game might be facing off behind the stage that weekend. All right. And he goes, so many people, to tell you the truth, throughout the career have always told me, oh, I want to party with Gronk. I want to party with Gronk. So this is an opportunity to do it. Said Gronk Beach is going to be from 1 to 7 p.m. Tickets go on sale Thursday for $149, an event that will include a luau theme with fire twirlers and hula dancers.
Hopefully there's no ancient taboo that will get you a tarantula on you. You'll crash into the waves.
Mm-hmm. And he said Gronkowski says he expects tickets to go quickly for an event that won't feature only his name. We'll be partying with everyone, Gronkowski said. We'll be partying on stage. We'll be high-fiving everyone. We'll be
wait a second. Stop the presses. Wait, you mean to tell me if I go there, I get a high-five?
You're going to get a high-five, maybe. He says, I mean, I don't think he guarantees
He can't promise you you're all going to get a high-five, but I put myself in position for a high-five. I have to imagine him getting it.
We'll be interacting with the crowd. It's just going to be great overall fun-themed party where it just brings entertainment and joy to people's lives. So there you go.
You're doing God's work.
That was
Gronk's big end up being nothing.
Yep, and it was. It ended up being a party.
Well, that's it. To. That's it for his using coming back as a tool for the his publicity.
Would you guys go? You gonna be down? Probably.
It's
down there,
it's right? The Saturday. We leave on Friday.
Would I go? No, I would not go to Gronk's
not even
party.
For the chicks in South Beach.
Oh, I mean, dude. I mean, they're all gonna be at the Gronk party. They're gonna be everywhere. Yeah,
I would go just to see what it was so I could talk about it. But I mean, and it'll probably do well. I would think it's probably going to do
They all do well.
Rick Ross and Rob Gronkowski on the same stage, I'm in on that.
Is Rick Ross still like a thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he like, you know, performs in like clubs and stuff like that, but what has Rick Ross done lately?
He's just the Teflon Don, man.
He was a CEO. You can't take that away from him.
Yep. RKK.
He's a poser.
RKK loves himself some Rick Ross.
Well, you know, Rick Ross was a CEO, and he never admitted it. He was the man. He was a man who patrolled the halls of a prison. You got to call into question his character, his whole that Rick Ross was a bit of a poser. So you can take Rick Ross and get out of here.
It's true. I agree with that. Yep. He hurt his rap game for a bit. His big meech Larry Hoover, though, if you ever heard that, that's good stuff.
All right. Well, I mean, all I know is that if I could get a high... I'd go if I was guaranteed a high five. Then I'd go. If I knew that there were going to be five fingers touching my five fingers in a slapping motion, then I would definitely go. I mean, just to party with the guy. Like, he'd be like, hey, I'm partying. And I'd be like, yeah, dude. High five. And then I'd never wash my hand again. I'd have Gronk juice all over it.
I mean, it'll do well. And if his name's on it, I wonder how much money he gets.
There is a event with Mike Ditka, and it used to be Mortensen, where they would sit and smoke cigars with people.
Cigars with the stars.
Yeah, and that sold out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're at the Super Bowl and you put on an event, chances are that it's selling out. You'd have to be a pretty lame not to sell at your Super Bowl party. But Gronkowski not coming up with the A-list. There's always one that's bigger. Snoop Dogg performs at every single Super Bowl and every single NBA All-Star game and every single everything.
I saw him this year. He was awesome.
Did he have Don the Magic Wand on stage?
No, he had everybody. He had a personal blunt roller that he pays $65,000 a year for. I looked this up recently. Just a guy on stage who rolls blunts.
I saw that, yeah.
And but he had Warren G with him. He had like the old 213 crew and all that. They played all the hits. Like any collab that Snoop has ever been on, even like Tupac, you name it, he did it all night.
So, but Nate Dogg, unfortunately, was not there. They had someone who did.
Snoop did it.
He sang Regulate.
He did Snoop, and then Warren G did his part.
Oh, Warren G and him are cousins.
I don't know. Dr. Dre and Warren G are brothers.
That's Dr. Dre's brother?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Brothers?
I believe so. I'll look it up right now.
I'm thinking cousins.
Yeah, I think they're like brother-in-laws.
Well, they're not biological brothers. I can tell you that.
And I think Nate and Snoop were.
They're
cousins.
That was not a good.
Yeah,
song.
They're stepbrothers.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so who are the names that are performing this? Okay, Rick Ross, which, you know, listen, it's going to sell out no matter what. I guarantee you. I mean, it's a party that time of year at the city that is holding the Super Bowl. It's going to be huge. And then the names, the bands, hang on, who is that? Rick Ross, Flo Rida.
We all know Flo Rida.
Of course, but I mean, he...
Champagne Pop.
Well, I mean, he's Welcome to My House. I mean, that song...
Flo Rida is at the very apex of what's going on in hip-hop right now.
DJ Carnage, not quite sure who he is, but I bet he just leaves, like, devastation in his back.
Well, I mean, he's full of carnage.
Cascade with a K, that is somebody who I actually know one of his songs. Diplo, who's pretty big. And Blau, I know that Robert Gronkowski's in a video for him. Like, he's stars in one of his videos.
I'm questioning where Diplo lands on the side of popularity based on the names he's behind.
Diplo's pretty big.
Based on the names he's behind, I don't know if that's the case right now.
Well, that big music festival that was what it was supposed to be, he was supposed to headline that one that was coming to Gillette, remember? Like, there was going to be a giant, it was called the Ultra Mega Everybody Have a Great Time trampoline party thing. It had some big name like that. But Diplo was, I think, the headliner.
Oh, it didn't happen. Tom, go ahead.
Fellas, hey, I came across a 10-pack of VIP tickets to the Grunk Fest. Guaranteed a high five from Rob himself. I want to invite the entire show, except for Fred.
All right. I couldn't handle the high five. You're right. I could never wash that hand again. I'd be like Marsha Brady when she was kissed by Desi Arnaz Jr. There'd be no way that I could wash that cheek again. All right, Rich.
Well, this is good, though, because if that's his announcement at 9 o'clock, then everyone can finally stop talking about whether he's coming back. Then that's it.
I've been talking about it nonstop.
Well, I mean, everyone in the media has been talking about it. There's been all these... I mean, how many times has Pro Football Talk said, well, we've heard it's a 20% chance. Now we've heard it's a 60% chance. And it's back and forth, it's back and forth. There's the Kraft story that came out. You know, there's all these different reports as to whether or not he's staying in shape and he's going to be doing it. And then there's Rob himself, who continues to have these vague teases. And you know that's the reason he put that teaser out, like, a couple days ago that we've been playing, because he wants you to believe that he's coming back. And now at least people can stop speculating. And I think after 1 year out, he's not coming back after that.
I wonder who gets more people, and I'm being dead serious, the Sports Hub party there or the Gronkowski party?
Dude, the Gronkowski party is going to be huge.
The Sports Hub party sells out and then some.
Yeah, but this is going to be at a massive music venue. This is going to be this is going to be huge.
Dude, I went to Miami 2 years ago. They call it Urban Weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, and, like, Birdman was there. Like, everybody from Florida that was there. Like, dude, it was wild and scary. And it's gonna be completely. There'll be more people there.
Well, absolutely. It's not Freaknik, the Super Bowl party. It's not during Freaknik, which is what you're saying sounds a lot like Freaknik.
It might even been that. Yeah. Everyone said don't go downtown. I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
I went there and it was scary, man.
Yeah, well, it's Freaknik. That's exactly what Rich and I have experienced in Atlanta. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, the Celtics, they right the ship, so we will get to that. Also, Tom Brady talks to his buddy, and oh, he's oh so sad about things.
All right, we will return.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Hey,
recapping what you missed, it's Thatcher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
The Celtics get back to their winning ways in Phoenix.
Kemba Walker for Brad Wanamaker. Finds Jaylen Brown. Quick three right side. That rocks home. Wow. Now everything's falling for the Celtics.
You've done exactly what you wanted to do.
97-78.
Yep, the second night of a back-to-back after a tough loss. Those were the kind of games that last year's team would have lost, but not this team and not last night. The Celtics blew out the Suns 99-85, upping their record to 11-2 on the season, and last night this guy could not be stopped.
17-point Boston lead. Down the right side. Tatum coming strong. Two-hand slam, and Jason Tatum in the valley has come alive.
Somebody just got slapped.
Tatum has the last seven Boston points. Celtics by 19, 80-61.
Tatum's got 26.
I don't know whether anyone got slapped or not. I wasn't quite, I don't remember that part of the game.
Yeah, it was, maybe it was, he was streaming a spanking party.
Maybe that was the case.
Maybe it was infantilism or whatever that is called.
Well, I mean, Sean Grandy is known to stream wrestling while he's doing the play-by-play. Right. And last night, I know you were over at the WWE Raw, so maybe he saw Seth Rollins give Mdanga, what was the guy's name, who he fought last night, and the three dudes came into the ring and started kicking his ass, and they had to end it.
Andrade.
Andrade,
who
that's
dates
right.
Charlotte Flair, by the way.
Oh, I thought, who was that woman who was yelling at him in the ring?
Oh, no, that's Selena Vega.
That's his life. It's the one fight I actually watched last night.
You watched Raw last night.
Just to tune it in to see if I could see any of the Calhoun crew. Sometimes you'll see Jay Stu with his sign out there ringside, but you guys all were up in the suite instead.
Now, I did see that you were on Instagram. I saw that you were at the Calhoun beforehand.
I did, yes. I went there before, met everybody, and we drove in together.
All right, so you went to Saugus, then you head out over to the Garden.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, Scorpion Bowl.
Very nice, very nice. Courtesy of the Wong father.
Correct.
Well, it was one of those games that showed promise that this may be the year Jason Tatum delivers on his all-star promise. 26 points, 11 rebounds, and that's without even playing 1 second of the fourth quarter. Mm. And unfortunately, Fred, this guy had a pretty good night last night as well.
Kemba, left-hand dribble. Cameron Johnson, the big rookie from North Carolina, in front of him. Kemba splits two men, finds the cutter on the baseline, and Grant Williams gets in close and scores off the glass.
Grant set the first pick, and that allowed him to get open on the backside.
11-2 is the Boston run. Their largest lead now up by 8. They enter to Kaminsky, and Grant Williams comes to the backside, blocks it clean.
So Grant Williams last night was doing everything he could to get more minutes, and he was on the court during the end of the second period where there was a huge swing. The Celtics went from being in a 2-point hole to a 15-point lead. He had two massive blocks. The main thing about him is that when he's on the court, he plays like Marcus Smart, where he does things like diving, like scrambling for a ball. He's annoying. He gets in people's faces and just is a guy that comes out there and instantly there's energy on the court. Mm-hmm. And like you, Fred, I mean, I didn't have very high expectations for Grant Williams, but when he gets out there, he's making a difference.
Plus 18 last night on the court.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, he did have 5 fouls, but overall, he had a couple of rebounds, a couple of blocks, 4 points. He is what he is. He's just a grinder, man.
And speaking of
4 points,
well, that doesn't matter. Like last night, it was
defensively.
Yeah,
it
was defensively.
He's not about scoring.
No. And he was only.
No, he's not about scoring exactly.
Well, I mean, that's
he's not about doing much.
Yeah, I mean, he made a huge difference out there last night. He did, and it's going to be one of those guys that you're going to look down, and you might see that. But, I mean, defensively, he's been all over. I mean, think about Daniel Theis. He didn't score anything last night, but he had, what, like 12 rebounds? Yeah. He was a monster out there.
Yeah, one thing to mention about the Suns, they actually had a pretty good team this year. They went to 7-5, but they're a good home team. They're actually one of the best teams in the NBA covering the spread as well.
all that matters.
But really, though, this is an impressive win considering they didn't get much from the bench. I know Brad Wanamaker played okay, but this is a good win after just a loss the other night.
Yeah, so they are going to be a good team this year, and they played well.
Jonathan Isaac not playing last night. He was. I hope he's not hurt.
I haven't heard. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I hope he's not hurt.
I love watching that guy play, though. He is a fun player to watch. Jonathan Isaac's going to be a...
It's just huge.
Yeah, he
Florida
is.
State, he was a stud.
Some of us...
But Tatum's transitioning, I think, a little bit faster than Isaac.
The year, man. Like, you've seen it. And, like, the last couple of games, even the one that they lost, I mean, he's making these mid-range jumpers and these shots that usually... And he's getting in the paint a lot, which I like. He was scared of the last couple of years... And now he's not afraid to take the hard foul. Him and Jaylen Brown have both seen their numbers. I mean, if they continue at this pace, I mean, both of them, Brown might even have a better points per game right now.
I think Jaylen Brown is actually playing consistently better than everybody else. Like, Kemba last night had a nice night, 19 points, but it was 15 the night before. Like, they actually need to have games where they don't have to depend on Kemba Walker in the fourth quarter. But I will say this, Tatum in the last game they lost, he had 4 points. He had 10 points in that second half. In that fourth quarter, he was outstanding. You mentioned the fadeaway shots. Mm-hmm. But last night, the way he played, like...
He couldn't miss. They didn't even play that whole fourth quarter. I mean, he was so good, but they ended up getting such a wide lead, and he had already scored 26 points. Well, speaking of Marcus Smart, we had mentioned him.
Booker, pressured to the baseline, throws a bounce pass to the far corner. Uh-oh. Tyler Johnson, we got an injury here. Marcus. Kick out charge. It's a 3. It's good, but Marcus Smart is hurt. Marcus Smart lying on his back. He's being helped up He's not putting any weight on his right leg and right foot. He's trying to put a little bit on now. Art Horn is out. They're going to help Marcus off the court. Seemed almost inevitable with how physical he's been playing.
Yep, Marcus Smart had to be helped off the court. He was diagnosed with an ankle sprain, but not before putting up 17 points. Here he is afterwards on the condition of his ankle.
The ankle's okay. It wasn't a lot of swelling. It was minimal swelling for it. I'm able to walk. I'm able to still shift and plan and move side to side, so that's good. Irritated the exact same ankle that I was just coming back from and in the exact same spot, but everything's okay. I should be fine to play the rest of this road trip.
Yeah, I mean, reports afterwards that his ankle wasn't even wrapped and that he was moving around just fine. You know, it looked kind of rough on TV, but it didn't look like it was anything that was going to snap it.
He's a world-famous flopper, that guy.
That was not a flop, though.
No, he was hurt.
That one, he actually got hurt.
I'll say this. They play the Clippers coming up next. Like, if he's not right against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and everything, like,
if Kawhi
they might
plays,
get smoked. Like, yeah, that's me. You don't know. Back-to-back. But they do have Paul George now who just started. And who knows with him?
I think
he
Kawhi
might be back-to-back.
Hasn't Kawhi been out the last two games
them? But it's more rest than anything.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, that may be the case, but I just wonder if it's going to
keep him
on the bench.
I've watched the Clippers. They're so deep. Like, the way the Celtics bench plays, like, I don't know. That's going to be a test, right? This whole entire road trip, they have a chance to wrap up the trip. I'm interested to see how they play against the Clippers. And, you know, I've been thinking about this, Rich. Remember when Doc Rivers just bailed on Boston? He didn't want to do a rebuild.
Yeah.
He did do a rebuild with the Clippers. And right now they have two of the better players in the NBA. Like, I don't know. I think Doc Rivers is in a better situation than Brad Stevens and the Celtics.
Are you kidding me? They have the best player on the planet.
But just think about it, though. Like, everyone raves about Brad Stevens and what he does, and they love the Celtics. But, like, Doc Rivers did that rebuild for the Clippers, who had their owner leave and had all these issues. Blake Griffin, they traded him. Like, Chris Paul, they traded him. Now look at him.
Well, I mean, that helps when you have Kawhi Leonard. And
well, they
Paul
just
George
got Kawhi Leonard.
Now,
what I'm saying is they did a sign-and-trade for Chris Paul and got, like Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell and, like, all these bit players, and now they're all better than some of the starters for the Celtics. And I want to see this matchup this week.
Yeah.
But if Marcus Smart's injured, is all I'm saying here is, if Kawhi plays, they're going to have no one to stop Kawhi Leonard.
Well, Kemba Walker knows the value of bouncing back the night after a bad loss.
It's a great win. You know, when you have opportunities to bounce back and, you know, learn from mistakes, and you actually come out and do it, it just feels good. And it lets you know about your team and the guys you're playing with. You know, we have a special group, man. And, you know, for us to not kind of hang our heads on that loss yesterday and, you know, really just come out tonight and play against a really good team here at home and, you know, able to come out with a win, that was big.
Well, it's going to be one of the games of the year tomorrow night. Unfortunately, it's at the unholy hour of 10 p.m., so almost no one is going to see it. So if you're up late, you can hear it right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. So, as I said, keeping an eye on the Kawhi Leonard situation, has been out the last two games. It would be great if he was back in, because then, you're right, you get to see just how good Marcus Smart can be on. I mean, he did a great job with Giannis, you know, earlier in the season. Yeah. So, I mean, they've played one elite team so far. They've played a couple of good teams, but this is going to be, I think, probably their best challenge so far.
And I want to say it's the final game of the road trip as
because after the Clippers, they have Denver. By the way, is a wagon too. I mean, and they've always been they've been tough on the Celtics. But I mean, both teams, championship aspirations.
There you go. Next two games.
Tough way to end the road trip. And once again, you can hear that here on 98.5 of Sports.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Tom Brady talked to Jim Gray, and he's still not very happy about things.
All right, here are the headlines. Yeah. That's nice. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Touch from Rich B. Listening this morning at 7:20, because there ain't no half-stepping, for your chance to score not only a pair, you could get four tickets to see Kiss on their end of the road tour coming in Xfinity Center at September 4th, 2020. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. And if you know Kiss, I mean, this is it. this is the
last time.
They're never playing again.
Maybe they'll make a contract where they all agree that they can never tour again, because those are irrevocable, as we learned yesterday when Motley Crue announced they're going back on tour after making one of those contracts.
Okay, so they did.
Okay,
announce?
So it's now official. It's official. There is going to be a stadium tour. Now, the tickets, I think, go on sale soon, and we'll announce it as soon as we find out. But it's official. Poison, Motley Crue, Def Leppard going on tour together.
Okay, because there was some infighting because they wanted Vince Neil to lose 40 pounds.
And if that's true, then he agreed to it because...
And Tommy Lee to go to rehab. And then Tommy Lee said, I shouldn't have to go to rehab. Vince should have to go to rehab. So there is quite a little bit of infighting. And if Tommy Lee is such a... Because I guess he's like an alcoholic. Very thin.
Yeah.
Very thin for an alcoholic.
So
Vince, like, just your traditional alcoholic.
Well, you're never going to see more of a blatant example of how out of shape Vince Neil is. Because Bret Michaels, that dude is a pro. Like, he has stayed in shape. He hits every note. He's an entertainer. This guy understands, this is my job. I'm going to do everything I can to get up on stage and give people a good product.
He wears a sweet folded cowboy hat.
Whatever. He gets up there and he kills it.
I saw them in Cinderella once. They were awesome.
Okay, so Poison has been... I don't know about Poison. Bret Michaels at least is in shape.
Well, you know Bobby Dahl's going to come out swinging.
Well, he's actually stayed in shape too, if I'm not mistaken. No, it's CeCe DeVille that I'm worried about. He's
Bobby
Dahl's off the rails.
Bobby Dahl, I mean, maybe the best bass player ever.
Just one note. Boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
If you don't need... He doesn't even need his left hand. He's like, what do you want out of me?
And then there's Def Leppard, which... Anybody, like, I know Wallach went to the Journey Def Leppard show at Fenway, and anyone who's seen Def Leppard in the last, like, 10 years knows those guys are pros as well. They hit every note, and even if they don't, there's some sort of sound thing that makes it sound like they're doing it.
I don't like Vivian Campbell in the band.
Well, I mean, the guy died, so what are you going to do? You gotta fill it in somehow.
His son or something.
When it comes to the crew, though, like, are we going to be able to understand?
Not one damn word.
No.
Vince Neil is the most out of shape. Just like the dude should just stop. He is fat, and I told you. I mean, just firsthand experience. So that when we got signed to this management thing, they were also managing Vince Neil. So obviously we're in a great company. But they put us on tour with him through the Midwest, which was kind of cool because they were playing these, you know, rock and roll still ruled the Midwest. But we hadn't sounded nothing like Vince. But he just, as the tour went on, would take like 5 or 6 songs off the set list because he couldn't finish. There was one show he got up there and he had completely lost his voice and he just left the stage after 4 songs.
Well, when I saw Rich's band open for them in like on 38 Mile in Michigan, like it was far away, Vince came out with like a Tommy Bahama shirt and a bucket of beer.
And that was a good night for him. Like that's a night where he was actually in shape.
But he put the bucket of beer like on a stool.
Yeah.
Because it's like kind of him, like, you know, like the other guys in the band aren't really like prevalent at that time. And he's like, yeah, come on, wherever the hell we are.
Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly.
Wherever it was.
Yeah, it was Sterling Heights, Michigan. And he puts his beer down on the stage. He's going to have himself some brews.
Well, I will tell you this much. I mean, you know, laugh what you will about Vince Neil. Backstage, there was never a shortage of booze. There was never a shortage of, like, the circus sideshow. It was nuts. I mean, it was not quite Motley Crue from back in the day. But, I mean, there were people trying to relive that heyday who would go back there. And it was fun. It was fun as hell. It was a great time.
Well, he bought a bunch of strip clubs. That's what his business is now. Vegas strip clubs.
Yep.
That's what he's gotten into. He loves strippers.
Well, there's also the restaurant he's got, which is the Circus, appropriately. Yeah. Vince Neil's Tattooado. Actually, no. Last time I went, they had moved Vince Neil's Tattooado from the Circus to like a depressing strip mall.
Because they couldn't even hold it at Circus. There was too many people coming in and out.
Too classy of a joint for Vince Neil.
Yeah. People were like, oh, we can't afford it.
Well, somebody who's in a little better shape than Vince Neil would be Tom Brady on Sunday. We saw him as goth kid as he could be. Even after a win, man's depressed, needs a lollipop. Well, he was asked last night by his good buddy Jim Gray why he was so frustrated that evening.
Tom, 17-10, you didn't look happy at all during the game. You looked less happy after the game. You've had a day to think about it now. You're 9-1, but there's a lot of frustration.
Very happy we won. To get to 9-1 is tough to do in the NFL. So it's I think there's always positive and negative to learn from every game. You know, there's some things that we're doing good, and there's a lot of things that we need to clean up. And I'm happy we're winning in the process. So, you know, NFL season is tough. And we're just trying to find ways to you know, be a little bit more consistent and a little more dependable as we go forward. And hopefully we can get there in the next, you know, it's a short period of time before we play our next game, but we've still got a lot of football left to play.
I read two articles yesterday, one from Shaughnessy, one from Buckley, who both say that Tom Brady isn't taking any of the responsibility in all of this. I mean, he is saying we in these clips. Maybe he's realized that you got to start lumping yourself in, unless he truly feels that none of it is his fault.
That's ridiculous. First-round pick at running back. First-round pick at receiver. First-round pick is going to be a left tackle. They tried to bring in Antonio Brown. That didn't work out. They brought in Josh Gordon. That didn't work out. They've done plenty of things to satiate him. It's ridiculous. There's nothing for him to be complaining about with this offense. It's entirely his fault. I mean, so Gronkowski retired. Things happen. I mean, there's plenty of people with less weapons than he's got. That's an incredibly selfish narrative.
Well, you can't say that, you know, bringing in Josh Gordon was a good solution. Like, no, get somebody that you can depend on.
They got Brown.
Well, Antonio Brown also was not a great
solution.
Well,
everyone loved it. They gave him $9 million.
Do you guys connect the dots here? This is the organization whiffed. Right? They tried to get Antonio Brown. It didn't work. Like, they got first round. They drafted guys in the second round who haven't worked out. Their first round pick last year sucks. Like, they've whiffed. Like, they brought in Michael Bennett, who's now actually doing very well in Dallas, and we'll see it this weekend. They couldn't even make that work. I'm just talking defense there. But overall, like, this organization has whiffed on trying to continue to make the team better.
Yeah, and but they have tried to make that offense better, and they have put resources into it.
Well, the Sanu trade, I think, is the one where you can
I know, again, damn good.
They gave up a second-round pick for Sanu.
That's what I'm saying. That's a big deal, and that's one reason he should kind of go, all right, they tried.
There's a bunch of – they've used two, they got a running back in the first round. They got a tackle in the first round. They got a wide receiver in the first round. They traded a second-round pick for Sanu. They threw $9 million at Antonio Brown. I mean, he's got to relax.
Maybe he's pissed at the decisions that the organization has made haven't worked out.
They whiffed. It didn't work out.
He wanted Antonio Brown. He sits there and plays with himself over his Instagram.
Well, I think he's pissed that they got rid of Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, then absolutely. He really understands the business.
And you can tell from Fred, I'm with you on this, but you can tell from the Instagram messages he's put there, oh, I love you, Antonio, after he left. I mean, he's pissed, and I honestly believe he thinks that the Patriots made the wrong decision releasing him.
Kraft made the wrong decision.
Yeah, fine.
Not Belichick.
And it's also going to be sad because his skills are diminishing. And if this is the way he's going to behave because he's not the quarterback that he used to be, then it's not going to get any better. I mean, he's not. I mean, we did it yesterday. Like, I mean, he's not a top five quarterback. I mean, he just isn't.
Yeah.
And so he's not going to be what he was before.
But you made an excellent point, man. Like, the two first-round picks last year haven't worked out. Like, the Sanu thing is like, it's like a Band-Aid, but he's not what you think he is. I mean, he's just not. And now they're using him as a punt return. It's not working out. Like, they've whiffed on every single move they've tried to make. And I think Brady's upset about it. And I think it comes back to A, his contract, and B, it was Kraft who no longer wanted Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, there's
but
also.
That's the right decision.
Well, that
was the right decision. Well,
but, and then there's also handling it in a way that you're not crying after every game that you win. I don't know what he wants.
And I don't know why they released Josh Gordon. Like, well, they could probably use him out there. And
yes.
The first-round pick they drafted this year, they don't even trust?
No.
Well,
no.
What, N'Keal Harry?
He doesn't even trust, excuse me.
You're talking about N'Keal Harry?
N'Keal Harry.
He's played one game.
No, I know, but still, though, they put him on IR. They could have had him play in the season. They played him in a meaningless preseason game, and he got hurt.
So, like, they don't trust him because he was injured?
Oh, no. This is Brady does not trust rookie receivers. That's a fact. We can go back to name a rookie receiver that's worked out besides Malcolm Mitchell that didn't even get hot until the end of the year.
Well, I mean,
we got to go all the way back
Michael
to Deion Branch.
He's got stats that will disagree with you.
No, I'm being dead serious.
Brady has a circle of trust. No, Michael Hurley was upset because he said it didn't matter that he doesn't trust young receivers. He said that it was Super Bowl crazy when he doesn't trust Martin, go ahead.
Hey, Fred. Hey, guys. So I agree with you as far as, like, you know, he shouldn't have that much to complain about. I mean, he has three receivers that are either starters or could be starters in the league with, you know, Edelman, Dorsett, Sanu.
Oh, that's right. Dorsett's a number one pick, too. Okay, go ahead.
Right, so you have a first-round pick. You have a running back. You have running backs that are, again, either starters in the league or serviceable running backs. I don't know what he wants. I mean, I think that the blame is really on McDaniels. It's like knowing that he doesn't have an offensive line, he's making them do drops rather than being the shotgun and, you know, playing to their strengths.
Well, that's another good point, is that they have James White that they've relied on in the past. They have Rex Burkhead, who's better than most of your backup running backs in the league.
I think there's also something to be said that I believe. I mean, if you believe Ted Johnson, and you think that one of the reasons Rob Gronkowski is not playing this year is just because he was tired of the culture and the way he was treated as a Patriot, if you believe Ted Johnson, that's not my words, those are his, then maybe Tom Brady is pissed that the organization chased him away.
Good.
One of his best weapons. So he's sitting there going, here's another guy that I could have had. And you know what?
They're 9-1. It would be one thing if they were 500. They're 9-1. So what? They don't have Antonio Brown. The best record. They're going to have home field advantage in the playoffs. What does he want? Do you want to be 10-0? He's so concerned with his numbers. You act like people are acting like this was the year where they had to put Troy Brown at the corner, and you know, had Gaffney was like the number one receiver. Please,
he didn't complain then, though.
No, he didn't complain then because he was better. He just sees himself not being as good.
Do you remember when Tom Brady said that he would stop playing when he didn't enjoy it anymore?
Yes.
Does he seem like he's enjoying this season?
No, and I also don't believe he's going to retire.
Well, they just had Victory Monday. You think he had the offense take Victory Monday off?
See, that was another thing that makes me think that Bill Belichick really enjoys it when the defense does well and they win offense suffers.
There is no doubt about it.
Like, because he's at his happiest when that happens.
Oh, no. This is the most passive-aggressive. Oh, yeah. He loves it.
Who do you think's running the defense? Be honest. Who's running the defense?
His son.
Belichick. You're right. Belichick said when they gave up that 95-yard run, it was Belichick talking to everybody what to do, and they shut him down the rest of the game.
Yeah, Belichick is right. Yeah, Belichick.
But it's Belichick's defense versus Tom Brady's offense.
Right.
That's what the Patriots are this year.
And he's having the time of his life.
I mean, it's true. They're 9-1! I want to pull these clips. Can we, and Mike, do me a favor. This is a little project, if you don't mind, at some point during the show. It could be the end of the show. I don't care. I want to get the sound clips of Bill Belichick after that Buffalo game. And that was a game, you know, rock fight. Defensive stands. The offense did not look good. And that was probably the happiest I've heard Bill Belichick all year. Very similar to this Eagles game.
Oh, yeah. He's having the time of his life. And then Brady's crying about being 9-1.
And I have to look at this schedule one more time because there was another game that was similar to that. There's been a lot of games where the defense or the offense hasn't quite been what we all expected. They still put up good numbers. But there's another one where it was like a defensive stand and the offense was struggling, where once again, Belichick was as happy as he's been and jokey. And it just seems like this is a pattern. Like Bill is really enjoying getting up there and saying, well, look what I'm able to do.
Yeah. And then Brady cries about it, even though they're 9-1. He's all about winning.
That's just, to me, that's the thing, is that he said he would retire when he doesn't enjoy it anymore. Yeah. And it does not look like, despite being 9-1, it does not look like he's enjoying this season.
9-1 and being far and away the favorite to win the AFC.
It's a little closer now with the way the Ravens have been playing. That's the thing.
I mean, they got to lose. I mean, the Patriots got to lose. All right, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Let's see here. What do we got going? All right. Shane, go ahead.
Hey, I was just calling to see what you guys think. Do you think Brady's creating this drama and narrative to kind of feed some fire for his last half of the season instead of, you know, just kind of breezing through and not having any reason to get up for the games?
I mean, like, amongst his offense?
He would mope after the games in order to inspire?
Yeah. You know how you guys talk about how he kind of needs a little reason in the locker room to, you know, to feed himself, you know, to get himself up, kind of create some some drama or some narrative to.
Well, I couldn't imagine rallying around the troops more than acting like a child after the games.
I could see, okay, win. If you were going to look on the most optimistic side of things, you could say that Tom Brady is acting this way because he wants his offense to know that none of this is good enough and that he's pissed off and that no matter that they're the third highest scoring team points-wise in the NFL, that he's not happy with it. It's not good enough. The only difference is this year's different than the rest. Like, I've never seen him this depressed after being 9-1 or having this many wins. It just seems weird to me because it's a pattern throughout the season. It's not one game. It's not a one-off. He's been this way all year long. But, I mean, if you want to go on the complete optimist side of it and think that he's trying to inspire his offense, that maybe what you're doing isn't good enough, then...
How inspiring.
I mean, those are some rose-colored glasses, but yeah, I mean...
That's a good way to inspire us.
But let's be honest, guys. The way they're playing right now, they can't win a Super Bowl this way. And listen, I was completely wrong.
I don't know about that.
No, dude, they can't run the football. That's how they won last year. Like, they can't run the football. They can't do it. And that's why I think the Ravens look so well right now, because they can do that and they can play defense.
Just every year they figure things out. On top of that, they're getting Isaiah Wynn back, which I know we keep saying, and it's weird because he's played, two games in the NFL?
Yeah, I just think he's better than New.
But he's better than what's out there. So, yeah. I mean, once the offensive line hopefully starts playing like a real NFL offensive line, the run game will kind of get back into things.
I don't know.
I just don't. They always figure this stuff out.
They do.
They seem to, but I don't know who's going to run the ball for them.
Do you remember how we felt at the end of last season when they lost three of their last five? And then there was that Miami game. I mean, everyone was like, there's just.
Well, the Miami game was the miracle.
I'll die on this hill. I think the reason why they went on that run is because Josh Gordon was out of the mix. Brady was targeting him too much. They went away from what they do best. They put James Devlin in the backfield. They ran the football. They ran the ball down everyone's throat. They started playing defense. That's how they won last year. Now they can't run the football. All they can do is play defense. Like, Brady was 4 yards per completion. That's not going to do it. One other thing, though, looking forward here, they're going to be playing a lot of games at home. Like, they were bad last year on the road. So, get back home, a little home cooking. They're just a better football team in Gillette Stadium than on the road.
So, you don't think that they can get to the Super Bowl with home field advantage? You said they can't win a championship.
Let me rephrase. The way that they're playing right now, they can be beat.
I mean, it's tough when your defense is only allowing 10-something points. I mean, when you have a defense this good, it's going to be tough.
I mean, Brady hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 3 games this year. I think that's the first time in history. Like, in his career, maybe his rookie year he did.
No, he's not nearly the quarterback that he was. All right.
But I think that, but look around.
Listen, I doubted them last year. We were all wrong. Everybody was wrong. So they probably could still win. The league still sucks. Yeah, they still have Tom Brady.
They certainly would be the favorite to win the AFC. And then the Super Bowl, who cares at that point? You're in the Super Bowl. You made your trip to Miami. All right. Well, what's the deal, Rich? The crew went out?
Yeah. You know what, though? We should revisit something because it looks like this big announcement at 9 o'clock that Rob Gronkowski is supposed to have.
I don't want to revisit that.
We have to. It's the biggest news of the day.
His party?
Is it still happening at 9 or is it over? Yeah,
I mean, I guess he's still got a thing at 9 o'clock. And more than likely, that's the announcement. But that was leaked out this morning.
What a troll. He's a wicked troll.
Yeah, why do you want to talk about it again?
Because people don't know about it.
Yeah. Well, he's having a festival.
And he's not returning to the Patriots.
Just waking up, you're right.
I mean,
I completely disagree. There's no story there.
That he's not returning to the Patriots?
You said off the air that you thought that you didn't want to talk about it anymore, Murray.
No, I'm out on new announcement. Anytime he comes up with a new announcement now, I'm out.
Yes, but
no more announcements.
But people don't know that he is not coming back to the Patriots. It's now... almost official. Almost. At 9 o'clock, it'll be official. Okay. But it was leaked out.
So we're passing up the Kowloon crew to go to the...
All right, let's do the Kowloon crew. Let's do that.
I have no idea. Listen, your show.
I mean, Gronkowski's having a party at the Super Bowl. I mean, there's really not much more to say than that. I mean, is there more to add on?
Sure there is.
Okay, we'll do that.
Do you think this pisses off Tom Brady, too?
That he's not coming back?
Yeah, that he'd rather have a Super Bowl party than play football.
I think the fact that he's no longer on the Patriots pisses him off, and I think that he finds the organization accountable in some
just
way.
Just so you know, Gronk said it himself, too, that he couldn't come back and deal with this and the team and everything. I know Ted felt that way, but, like, Gronk said it himself.
All right, so we will tell you what Gronkowski is going to announce at 9 in just a moment. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.